beautiful. It's one of my favorite. He made a way in a manger to the cross. To the cross. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. I want to thank everyone for coming out today, especially those who helped decorate the church this week. Thank you as well. Christmas is a great time, isn't it? It's one of my favorite times of the year. The music is the best, isn't it? And the decorations and the lights in the yards. And I wonder how many people actually know why they do all that decorating sometimes. But I do see pictures of nativity on flags, and there's a lot of people out there you can talk to about Christmas, and they're celebrating for the right reasons. Well, before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me in as we pause and speak to the God of the Word? Heavenly Father, we need to hear a word from you today. We live in troubling times. We've had all kinds of problems in our country and around the world. And Lord, we need you. We want to pray especially, Lord, for those who lost possessions in the fires of California just a short time ago. And we pray especially for the Paradise Church of the Brethren that we just learned recently will not be rebuilding their church. We pray for your comfort in their loss. And we pray for wisdom for the community leaders there as to what to do. Pray for wisdom for our president, for our Congress, as they have some very important decisions in just the days ahead. Please give them your wisdom, Lord. Please help them to work together. Please bring peace at this time of Christmas. Now we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to comfort us and teach us. Remind us of what we should do. Show us Jesus, because we ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, when I was a child, one of my favorite times of the year was Thanksgiving. Oh, I loved learning about the pilgrims, going to my grandma and grandpa's house. And I remember my grandma, I don't know where she got them. She had little candles that looked like pilgrims and turkeys at our places, and we got to light them. I don't know where she found them. I haven't seen them. I'd love to find them again. But we loved celebrating, of course, the food. But maybe, you know, it didn't look like that. Maybe it looked more like this. Because I did live in New Jersey, and we did get snow. But this is probably more accurate what it actually looked like when I was a child. And then when Thanksgiving was over, what's the next thing on every child's mind? Christmas. That's right. We know it's only going to be 4 weeks, right? It's only going to be 4 weeks till Christmas. I could hardly wait for Christmas to come. You know, kids have a hard time waiting for Christmas. Why is that? One word, that's right, presents. Presents. When you're a kid, you're all excited about the presents. I have a grandson named Dylan. When he was 4 years old a couple years ago, our daughter, Shara, they live two doors away. She said, Dylan, what do you want for Christmas? He said, presents. She said, what do you want in the presents? He said, well, if I tell you, it won't be a surprise. The wisdom of a four-year-old. Isn't that amazing? I love what kids come up with. Here are some actual letters that kids wrote to Santa. Here's one that said, Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. I love the honesty. I love the honesty. That's a kid. All right. Here's one from a four-year-old. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. Anything. That's right. I'll take anything. Well, let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for this Christmas? Are you hoping for anything? Or are you looking forward to receiving something special this Christmas? Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 25 to 38 in the time we have together this morning. I'm going to be using the New International Version. I invite you to use your copy of God's Word. And here in the Gospel of Luke, we meet two people who were important in the first Christmas story. Both of them were waiting. They were waiting for something, or more accurately, they were waiting for someone. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says in the New International Version, Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him for him what the custom of the law required, the Bible says that Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, As you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also. There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years before her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to keep your Bible open. Now, what's interesting is the Greek word that Luke uses for their anticipation tells us that they were waiting with expectation for the coming Messiah, our Savior. It literally means that they were alert or to his appearance and ready to welcome him. We see that word in verse 25 where Simeon was waiting. Verse 36 says Anna was looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So let me ask you this. Is there a right way for us to wait for Christmas? Is there a right way for us to wait for Christmas? Some people like to watch all those Christmas specials. Did you see that in Facebook where somebody has made a shirt? It said, this is my Hallmark Christmas movie watching shirt. There's a lot of people that need one of those, right? Not a lot of people like to watch the Christmas specials, and there's a lot on this time of year. What's the best one ever made? All right, I'll tell you my opinion. The Charlie Brown Christmas special. That's one of the best. 53rd anniversary of that Christmas special this year. It's coming on this Thursday night if you want to record it. You remember in that special, Snoopy kind of gets carried away in a contest to decorate. You know, he wants to win first prize, and he ends up winning first prize. And it's Charlie Brown bemoans the commercialization of Christmas, trying to get caught up. Well, maybe you haven't given it much thought, but the danger is that Christmas easily becomes about us and what we want, very easily. Perhaps Simeon and Anna's expectation can help us with our waiting for Christmas. And then we can be sure that we're looking for the real gift of Christmas and not some phony substitute. The first person we see waiting for the first Christmas in Luke's account was Simeon. Simeon. We're introduced to Simeon in Luke 2, verse 25. The NIV says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was, the King James says, just. The NIV says, righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You know, things weren't going well for Israel. They hadn't seen a prophet of God, and get this, 400 years. Our country isn't even that old yet, okay? 400 years since the last prophet in Israel, okay? They'd lost their independence. They were living in fear of the crafty and cruel King Herod. And many wondered if the Messiah would ever come. They're under Roman occupation, okay? And they're wanting a deliverer. Verse 26 shows us that Simeon had good reason for his hope and anticipation. It says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, it's interesting, if you pay attention there, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title. It's the Lord's Christ. The Greek word Christ means the same thing as the Hebrew word Messiah, the anointed one. Verse 25 tells us he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon's expectation focused on the comfort that the Christ would bring. Among Jews of Simeon's day, one of the popular titles of the Messiah was Comforter. Comforter. They longed for Messiah to come and to comfort them or console them in all their troubles. You know, the desire to be comforted is a universal human need, isn't it? We all struggle with loneliness, emptiness, insecurity, and even desperation, especially during the Christmas season. They tell me that Christmas is one of the main times of the year for depression and suicide, sadly. And God had promised Simeon He had prompted him to go to the temple courts on just the right day to meet Joseph and Mary as they brought their baby to the temple. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he knew that God's promise to him had been kept and his promise to Israel. Here was Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. He would make everything right for Israel. He would provide salvation for his people. In verse 28, the Bible says, Simeon took Jesus from Mary and began to praise God. Now, parents, just imagine this for a moment, okay? You bring your baby to the temple, and this old man comes rushing up to you, takes your baby, and starts preaching and prophesying. How would you feel? I mean, just they didn't know Simeon. I'm sure it was a bit of unsettling for Joseph and Mary, to say the least. But maybe Simeon didn't look dangerous, you know, so they thought, here's a kindly old man. And Simeon says that God fulfilled his promise to him, his promise to send the anointed one to comfort both Jews and Gentiles. What an amazing thing. So the first person waiting for Christmas in the Christmas story was Simeon. He was waiting for divine comfort in the person of Jesus. What are you waiting for? Next, we meet Anna. Anna was waiting, the Bible says, for redemption. She's the other Christmas character waiting with anticipation. Now, Anna, we're told, was 84 years old. She may have been a widow for more than 60 years. After just seven years of marriage, the Bible says her husband died. Now just think. Think of Anna's dashed hopes, her broken dreams, her broken heart. She could have become bitter easily, but instead she chose a better life. After her husband died, God filled her empty heart. In fact, the Bible says that she never left the temple but worshiped endlessly day and night. Instead of grieving endlessly, she pursued God. Instead of focusing on her loss, she focused on what she had left, the promise of a Savior to meet her needs. And Anna was looking forward to the same person as Simeon, but with a different focus. Instead of comfort, the Bible says Anna was looking for a Redeemer, a Redeemer. Verse 38 says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to what? The redemption of Israel. The word redemption is related to the idea of release from captivity. Think Passover. They were released from captivity. Think Passover, the exodus from Israel, from Egypt. Freedom! You know, those are the things we associate with redemption. When Anna saw Jesus, she thanked God and told all who were waiting for redemption, here's the one that's going to save his people. He's going to save his people from sin. So, who was the first person waiting for Christmas? Simeon. Who was the second person? Anna. Okay, Anna. What were they waiting for? God's comfort in the person of Jesus and redemption. Redemption, salvation. So what's the true meaning then of Christmas? Just this. Jesus provides what you need. Jesus provides what you need. This Christmas, as we celebrate Jesus' coming to the world, what do you need? Now, I know if I asked that in one of the high school classes where I teach, I would hear things like an iPad Pro, a Surface Pro tablet, an 80-inch ultra-high-definition television, Xbox 360, a new iPhone X. Those are all things. Maybe some of you are thinking, I need a vacation. I don't know. Okay. Maybe you do. I'm not here to judge what you need and what just a want. I think you can do that. But some might think that I'm saying, oh, maybe exchanging gifts isn't a good idea. And I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying that. Giving gifts is good. It reminds us of the first gift giver, who is who? God is the first gift giver. And the gift was Jesus. That's right. He gave us the greatest gift of all, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But there is a danger in all the gift giving that we need to be aware of. The focus too easily moves from Jesus to the gifts. Okay, my little three-year-old grandson already has the idea. Once the tree got up, he wanted to know where the presents were. Even in Christian homes, the focus can move from Jesus to the gifts. You want proof? What do people ask before Christmas and after Christmas? What do people ask? Did you get what you wanted? Here's a cartoon. I like John's asking Garfield, so Garfield, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? That's the question we ask. What do you want for Christmas? Did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Friends, the focus has already shifted. The challenge for us as parents and grandparents is to shift it back to Jesus. That's the challenge every year. Every year. Pastors face it in their homes just like everybody else. So how can we do that? How can we get the focus back on Jesus? Well, it depends on how old people are in your family. Here's some of the things we do. We brought one of these little play nativity sets. It was a little expensive, but it's held up, and all the kids have played with it, and they love playing with it. And then we got books about the Christmas story. We sit down and we read with them. We got nativity advent calendars. This year, the grandkids were all asking, "Dad, Grandpa, where's that flat thing with the doors on it?" You're like, "What?" We finally figured out they meant the advent calendar. Now, not the one with the chocolate in it, okay? We get the one with the little Christmas story in it as you open it every day. And they love opening those little doors. And now the older ones can actually read the Christmas story. Sit down on Christmas before the presents. Everyone wants to open the presents and say, "No, we're going to actually read the Christmas story. This is why we do this," and explain. But it's hard, isn't it, to get the focus back on Jesus. Talk about what Jesus did for you because he came. Now, remember what I said earlier. Christmas is no longer about Jesus if it becomes all about us. May I be so bold as to suggest to you that all you really need for Christmas is Jesus? That's an amen point. Amen, that's all we need. Amen means I agree with that. You can do that in a brethren church, right? He is God's most precious gift to you. The rest of the gifts are just extra blessings. And celebrate them, enjoy them, okay? But he's all we really need. Friends, when Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon and Anna were looking for and waiting for: God's comfort and his salvation. So what are you waiting for this Christmas? What do you really need? Because whatever it is, Jesus can give it to you. Whatever you need, Jesus can give it to you. We think we need stuff, but you know what? That stuff has to be cared for, it has to be stored, it has to be dusted and cleaned. I mean, you think about all the stuff we accumulate, those of us that are older. Ultimately wears out and needs to be replaced. What we really need is to understand that God's best gift to us in our families is a Savior who meets our deepest needs. He alone can heal our hurts and our hearts and the hurts of our neighbors and friends without Christ. He alone. None of the stuff will ever fill that emptiness in people's hearts. Only Jesus can do that. And we make a mistake when we focus on what Jesus can give us instead of what he did for us. I know maybe some of you kids are thinking, maybe my parents are going to think we don't need any gifts. I'm not suggesting that, okay? I'm not suggesting that. I'm just asking you to think about what you're waiting for and what you'll actually be celebrating at Christmas. Jesus' disciple Peter wrote this. He said, "For Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous." Why? To bring you to God. To bring you, to make it possible for you to come to God, which couldn't be done before. Jesus' purpose in coming into the world is to bring us Christmas trees, Christmas cheer, and Christmas gifts. That's not why he came. He came to bring you and me to God. So that we could receive comfort and forgiveness and deliverance from sin. What about you? Now, some of you might be really hurting right now. I don't know. I don't know what's in your heart and your personal life. Maybe you're feeling lonely or empty, afraid. Maybe you feel maxed out right now. Boy, if you went to the mall yesterday, it was a zoo. It was crazy. And then the credit card bills and all that. Maybe you feel maxed out. I don't know. Do you need comfort? Do you need consoling? If so, you'll find what you need in Jesus. Maybe you've been plagued with guilt because of what you've done or the way you've lived. Maybe you're trapped by a sin you can't break free of. I don't know. If you need freedom, God offers it in Jesus Christ. There's no better time than Christmas to come to Jesus, to be loved and forgiven. Now, before we finish, we need to answer a final question. This is the question, what should we do? I love this picture, the little girl going, what should I do? What should we do about this, okay? It's all interesting, Pastor, what should we do? Let me suggest three steps quickly to help you experience God's comfort and freedom this Christmas. First of all, I want to suggest you become a marveler. When Joseph and Mary tried to process everything that was happening, Luke 2, verse 33 says they marveled. They marveled at what was said about Jesus. You know what that means? They were filled with wonder and astonishment about all this. Are you a marveler at Christmas? Or are you caught up in the busyness and the stress of the season? So many people run around because of the holidays. Why not make Christmas a holy day? That's what holiday means anyway, right? Has Christmas become too predictable, too familiar in your home? Have you heard the Christmas story so much that it no longer amazes you? Folks, Christmas should move us to tears when we realize that we're so bad that we need a Savior to leave heaven and come to die on a cross for our sin. I told you last time, this is one of my favorite pictures, the cross and the Christmas tree. And thank you, Charlie, for making it possible for our Christmas tree here. That's a reminder that we all need. Christmas should move us to marvel that God loves us more than we ever dreamed, because we were more wicked than we could ever imagine, and he sent us what we really needed, which was a Savior to die on a cross for our sin. And that should lead us to love and adore Jesus Christ more than anything in this whole world. Does your Christmas celebration do that? Next, after you become a marveler, we ought to become movers. We should become movers. Look at verse 27, Luke 2. It says, moved by the Spirit. The King James says that Simeon came by the Spirit. He went to the temple courts. Verse 38 says, coming up to them at that very moment, Anna gave thanks to God. Both Simeon and Anna were movers. When God prompted them to move, they didn't sit. They got up and they moved. What would have happened if they didn't respond? They would have totally missed out on the blessing that God had for them. Friend, when God prompts you to do something, what should you do? You should do it. Is God asking you to do something today? Maybe to trust him for salvation, to surrender to him and obey him completely. Or maybe God wants you to be more involved in serving other people. Don't procrastinate if God prompts you to do something. You just may miss out on a miracle this Christmas. Interestingly, as we become marvelers, we can't help but become movers. And that leads us to the final action step from this passage. Become a messenger. Notice verse 38 again. It says, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Are your family and friends distracted by the preparations for Christmas? Maybe their anticipation and frustration represents an inner yearning for comfort and forgiveness, something only Jesus can give them. God wants you and me to become messengers of the true Christmas story, just like Anna did. We talk easily enough about an elf coming down a chimney with a bag of presents, or an elf on a shelf, don't we? We talk about that every year. But what about the story of a holy God grieved by our sin, who came down from heaven and put a present for you on a tree, on the cross of Calvary, to give you a free ticket to heaven, salvation, and forgiveness of sin? Who will tell the true Christmas story to your friends and family? Okay, so as we wait for Christmas, what should we think about? May I suggest that you focus or concentrate on Jesus, your relationship with him, and then celebrate his coming. Folks, Christmas is a marvelous, moving message. How can we not find what we're looking for there? And how can we keep quiet about it? Once you have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have everything you need. Amen? You have everything you need. So what's the message to you if you're an established Christian or a new or growing Christian? Here's the takeaway. As we become marvelers, the wonder of Christmas will astonish us. Then as we become movers and obey God, our need for comfort and forgiveness will be met. And then as we take our role as messengers seriously, we'll be able to introduce others to the Christ of Christmas so they in turn can find out what they've really been waiting for. For the non-believer, here's something to remember. If Christmas is all about you and what you want, then it's no longer about Jesus, is it? And if it's not about Christ, then I'm going to suggest to you that we legitimately can't call it Christmas. We should actually call it Giftmas. Giftmas. I'm not putting anyone down. I'm just suggesting that we be honest about what we're celebrating. Better name for the holiday in some homes might be to call it Giftmas. Is if the primary focus is on exchanging presents, let's just be honest about it. You know, there's actually a website devoted to Giftmas, suggesting people celebrate that if they don't believe in any religion or anything. Seriously, look it up. But I think here's a better solution. Come to Jesus, follow him, and make this Christmas one that really is all about Christ. Gifts are okay, but keep the focus on Jesus. Here's a reality check. It doesn't matter what you get for Christmas. If it's not Jesus you're longing for, everything else will leave you empty inside. So what are you waiting for? As you wait and prepare for Christmas, remember this. What you're waiting for determines the blessing that you'll get at Christmas. What you're waiting for determines your blessing. Is there room in your heart this Christmas for Jesus? Or have the things of this world, self-pity, grief, loneliness, or something else, posted a sign over your end of your heart that says no room for Jesus? You're invited to a birthday party in a few weeks. Actually, 10 days, what, less than 10 days, right? It's a celebration of Jesus' birth. It's his party, but he wants to give you the presents. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to give you the gift of himself. Folks, God loves you. He always has. He always will. Will you take him today as your Savior? If you've taken him as your Savior, will you take him as your Lord and obey him with your whole heart? If you do, you will know the joy that comes, the peace, and the forgiveness in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that no matter where we are in our walk with you, you love us, you forgive us, you're patient with us. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to renew our commitment to focus our lives and our celebration on Jesus. Lord, help us to become road signs pointing our friends and family to Christ that they might find the true joy, the true meaning of Christmas, and the real Christmas spirit. Not just some make-believe myth. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need before we even knew we had one, the need for a Savior. I pray, Lord, as we have a few days left for Christmas, you'll help us become messengers of the gospel of peace. I pray that you draw to our church next Sunday, show us people to invite who need to hear about Jesus, who need to be encouraged by the true message of Christmas. Lord, I pray that you would help Lakeside Church be a beacon of light and hope and peace in this community as we point people to Jesus, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Peace, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for coming. God bless you. Now go out and do great things in Jesus' name.